A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Black calligraphy sweeps across a textured white surface. A star appears above the words Archer Gray. Text appears over a dim landscape, covered with trees and thick underbrush. Netflix presents Langley Park Pictures, an Archer Gray production.
Starlight and dewdrop are waiting for thee.
Tall reeds wave in the wind.
Sounds of the rude world.
Headlights illuminate a frantic young brunette. She sprints away from the headlights, holding a phone to her ear. She runs past a thicket.
Beautiful dreamer, queen of my soul.
Mist blows across the dark, deserted road.
With soft melody.
A title appears, Lost Girls.
Gone are the cares of life's busy.
An unsolved American mystery.
Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me.
A figure with a long blonde ponytail removes a pair of ear protectors. The figure wears a hard hat and a safety vest. The blonde figure, a petite middle-aged woman, strides across a worksite and enters an office trailer where two men sit. The blonde woman, Mary, removes her hard hat and stares at a whiteboard.
Oh, you shitting me. I told you I need more hours. You only got me on the schedule 3 days this week. Joelle has five. What the hell, man?
Joelle smiles when she comes in the door.
Yeah, but that's not all she does.
She leaves. One of the men shrugs at his colleague. Outside, an overcast sky hangs over low-slung buildings. Text appears, Ellenville, New York, 2010. Mary leans against a chain-link fence and takes a drag from a cigarette. She stares ahead with unfocused eyes as she exhales a plume of smoke. She sips from a takeout cup of coffee. Mary opens a flip phone.
Hello? What do you mean suspended? Did she hurt anybody?
In a diner, Mary's teenage daughter, Sarah, a serious girl with long brown hair, draws a bare branching tree in a notebook. Mary wipes the table, then moves behind the counter where Sarah sits.
Did you take your medicine?
No, I don't like that stuff. It makes me sleepy.
Also keeps you from lighting paper towels on fire in the girls' bathroom. What the hell were you thinking?
Customers enter.
We're gonna talk about this later. There are gonna be consequences.
Mary taps Sarah's drawing.
Not bad.
Mary grabs a stack of menus. Later, a large SUV pulls out of the diner parking lot and makes a left turn. Mary drives along a rundown main street with a papered-over storefront and a liquor store.
Player gets a top salary. The next player negotiates for even higher. I think they just have to go one direction or the other. You can't be half pregnant. You've got a salary cap that you...
Mary glances behind her. Sarah lies in the back seat, staring blankly. Mary picks up her flip phone.
Hey, Shannon. Oh, glad I finally got you. No, you know, just another day in paradise. My boss is a total asshole. He gave one of my shifts to the new girl. Yeah. Well, that's really nice of you to offer. I'll pay you back, you know, just as soon as I get on the other side of this shit. Okay. Yes, you can come home tomorrow. Oh, the girls will be so excited.
Me too, can't wait.
We'll see you tomorrow, babe.
Bye.
Great.
Mary pulls into a driveway outside a modest multi-story home with yellow siding. Beyond a grassy field, low-hanging clouds obscure a hilltop, smudging the line between trees and sky. Inside, Mary walks through a living room. A beaded curtain hangs in an open doorway nearby. Mary opens a cabinet under a TV. She removes a VHS tape with a handwritten label, Shannon, 1999, talent show. On the TV, a preteen Shannon confidently grips a microphone stand. Mary watches.
Starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee. Sounds of the room.
Hey, Sheree. Shannon's coming for dinner.
Mary's older teenage daughter, Sheree, moves inside the house. Mary shakes her head. She returns her attention to the TV and smiles. Sarah and Sheree set the table.
Mom, did you ask her to come or was it her idea?
No one has to ask. This is still her home. I'm still her mom and we're still her family.
I'm thinking maybe we'll watch that talent show video after dinner. I think she'd get a kick out of that. What?
Nothing.
Why can't you be happy for once?
Sheree turns away, wearing a somber expression. Later, Sarah dozes at the table with her head resting on her folded arms. A mostly empty plate rests in front of her. Sheree studies an open textbook. Mary sits at the head of the table with her arms crossed. Sheree looks up.
Maybe she had to work.
Mary eyeballs Sheree.
She worked last night.
Mary grabs her wine glass and leaves the table. Sheree returns her attention to her book. Now, Mary drives. A pair of headlights shines in her rearview mirror. Mary glances toward the mirror, then fixes her gaze on the road ahead. At home, Sheree lies in bed, staring at the ceiling. Star-shaped stickers adhere to the dimpled acoustic tiles above her. She pulls out a flip phone.
Shannon, I can't answer my phone right now because I'm doing something way more fun.
Hey, Diva. Look, I know you didn't mean it, but I think Mom's really hurt, even though she'll never admit it. You should call her and apologize. So your boyfriend called. Anyway. Missy Diva.
She hangs up. Now, lying on her stomach, Sheree sets the phone on the bed. She studies a brochure for North Saranac Community College. At a bar, Mary drinks deeply from a bottle of beer. She licks her lips thoughtfully. A bald man sitting nearby catches her eye. He lifts his chin. Mary smiles and stands. In the morning, Sarah stares at her cell phone as Sheree pours a bowl of cereal. Mary stirs food in a frying pan on the stove.
Sorry about last night.
For what?
Well, I know you were looking forward to Shannon coming home.
It's fine. You're gonna get your butt in the shower today.
Leave me alone. Are you sure you're okay?
Oh, for Christ's sakes. The world's not gonna end because Shannon had a schedule conflict.
Mary answers a landline phone.
Hello? Who?
She reaches for the frying pan.
God damn it!
Mary shakes her right hand.
Who is this? How did you get this number? Well, I don't know why you're asking me. She hasn't lived here since she's 12, so if she owes you money, you're barking up the wrong flagpole.
Who was it?
Some doctor. What time is it? Shit, I'm late. He wanted to know if I'd seen Shannon.
Mary rummages through a drawer.
Shannon's boyfriend called me last night, asking if I knew where she was. I thought they were just in a fight. I've tried her 5 times, and each time it's gone straight to voicemail. Mom. He's never called me before.
Mary stares at Sheree.
I'm sure it's fine. Give it a day. She'll call.
What happened to your hand?
I burned it.
Mary brushes past Sheree and leaves. Now, thick woody roots are pulled up from dirt. Mary operates a backhoe fitted with a claw attachment. The claw lifts a tree stump out of the earth. Mary pivots the backhoe's arm to the right. She leans forward in the cab. At the diner, she leans on the counter and holds one partly empty ketchup bottle over another, mouth to mouth. Mary stares absently across the diner. Two women and a man smile and chat at a table nearby. Mary glances down at the bottles. Ketchup slowly oozes down into the bottom bottle. Mary wiggles the top bottle and presses her lips together. At home, she talks on the phone. Cherie sits nearby.
It's been 48 hours. When will you start looking? For my daughter. Hello? Hello? They hung up.
You're not even looking for her?
They can't find her in the system.
What about that doctor? His number should be on the caller ID.
It came up unknown. He said he was in Long Island.
Maybe we should start calling the hospitals.
There are hundreds of hospitals on Long Island.
Sarah enters.
Did something happen to Shannon?
Mary drives with the girls. Cherie sits in the front passenger seat, staring out the window. Sarah sits in the back. They all wear grim expressions. Mary merges onto a highway. Traffic moves along a pair of parallel two-lane highways, passing houses on large plots of grassy land. Then, Mary parks in front of a police station. Text appears, Jersey City, New Jersey. Inside, the girls sit in a waiting area as Mary approaches a window.
A doctor on Long Island called me.
I'll put her in a system, ma'am.
A large stack of files thumps down behind the window.
Come on, girls.
Now, at a cell phone store.
I'm sorry, but unless she's physically here with you, I can't give you any information.
Nobody knows where she is, and the police haven't done a goddamn thing. Now, one way or another, I am leaving with those phone records. And if you're not going to help me, go get me someone who will.
The trainee employee widens her eyes.
She has five.
Five what?
Five cell phones.
Mary and the girls walk outside.
Mom, why would Shannon need five phones?
Do you know where this boyfriend lives?
Then, a young man with a scraggly goatee sucks on a cigarette.
Okay, so when did you last see her?
So she went to work in Long Island and never came back. Want to know more? Ask her driver, okay? He was the one that was supposed to bring her back.
What was Shannon doing in Long Island?
Selling Girl Scout cookies. What do you think?
Look, why don't you save us a lot of time and tell us what you did to her?
I would never hurt her.
Then why'd you hit her so hard? She had to have a titanium plate grafted into her jaw.
You don't know shit about me, little girl. And you sure as shit don't know about Shannon. You take the money and the gifts that she buys you, and you don't think to ask where it all comes from? And when she comes home, who do you think she's coming home to? Hmm? I was always there for her. Were you?
Where can I find this driver?
Next, Mary turns onto a dark side street near a narrow three-story building with flaking white paint.
To wait here.
Well, I'm not letting you go in there alone.
Lock the doors. It'll only be a minute. I have my phone.
Mary and Cherie exit the car. Sarah watches from the back seat as they enter a door near a blinking arrow-shaped sign. Mary and Cherie enter a dimly lit pool hall. Mary pauses and scans the room. A man with almond-shaped eyes and dark, receding hair lines up a shot. Mary approaches.
I'm looking for Shannon Gilbert. I'm her mother. You're Michael Pack, right? Her driver?
Michael straightens, looking somber. He follows Mary away from the pool table.
You need to relax, lady.
Where is she?
We went out to Oak Beach. She went in to see a guy. Next thing, she's freaking out, okay?
What happened?
Just a driver. I don't go in. I wait in my car, and then I drive her home. That's all I do.
That's all you do? Yeah, well, you didn't take her home.
Your daughter was hysterical that night. She ran down the road, banging on the door of any house with a light on it. She wasn't making any sense, just shouting all kinds of gibberish. I tried to help her, all right, but she wouldn't let me, so I said, fuck it.
Oh, fuck. Oak Beach?
way down Ocean Parkway, past Jones Beach. It's a gated community, miles from anything.
Mary shoots Michael a glare. She leaves. On a new day, cars move along a highway under an overcast sky. Long Island, New York. In another police station, Mary shows her phone to a detective with a mustache.
This is the last contact we had.
A text message reads, "Be safe." A reply reads, "Always am."
If you live in Ellenville and your daughter lives in Jersey City, what the hell are you guys doing out here in Suffolk County?
Well, her phone records are full of calls from a 631 area code.
Have you filed a missing persons report?
Just got off the phone with Jersey City and they don't have a record of it.
Mom, I don't feel so good.
Just a second.
Just because she didn't come home, it doesn't mean it's a 5-alarm fire now, right?
Okay, then why was her last contact with anyone a 23-minute phone call to 911?
The detective sits with Mary and the girls at a desk in another room.
Hello?
Shannon, get in the car. Come on, what are you doing?
Miss, I can't help you if you don't tell me where you are. I'm having a hard time getting a read on your location.
Mary tenses and looks at Cherie. The detective opens a file.
All right. The report says a unit arrived at 5:40. Officers interviewed several residents who said they saw your daughter leave on her own with no sign of suspicious activity.
Mary points to a photo in the file.
This is her jacket.
Yeah, well, as far as a 911 call goes, the residents say that she was on drugs.
My daughter doesn't do drugs.
You got a close relationship with her, Miss Kilburn?
Excuse me?
What was she doing in a gated community, 100 miles away from home in the middle of the night? Can I be frank here with you just for a minute, please?
Sarah kicks at the desk.
When girls like this go missing, it's a high-risk environment. You know, I mean, maybe she ran away, maybe she'll turn up, but... Hey, all right, do you think you could just stop that for 1 second, please, sweetheart? Just one.
My daughter isn't on drugs. She didn't run away. She's missing. Now, I've been hung up on, dismissed, and ignored, but one thing I won't be is silenced. Now, you say she's not missing. Fine, that's your position, but here's mine. She called for help at 4:51, and you arrived at 5:40. How in the fuck does it take an hour to respond to a call like that?
A police SUV drives along a remote highway.
Jesus. Crack a window.
A cop glances at a German Shepherd in the back seat. He pulls over. The dog hops out of the car. The cop stays in the car and stares at his cell phone. He smirks. The cop looks up. His smile fades. In grainy footage, a large trailer sits parked on the highway with about a dozen other vehicles.
Ocean Parkway is shut down between Gilgo Beach and Oak Beach. Police aren't saying much, but what we do know is that a police dog picked up a scent and a canine officer, knowing there was a missing persons report, brought in a search team. We expect to learn more tonight when Suffolk County Police Commissioner Richard Dormer holds a press conference. Commissioner Dormer made news earlier this year after narrowly surviving a vote of dismissal for staffing level issues that may have contributed to the death of three voters.
Hey.
Dean, the detective, greets another man outside.
Those four in all. They're skeletal, they're wrapped in burlap, and they're spaced evenly apart. There's one down there, here, here, and over there.
Dean scratches his mustache. Then, the older, dark-haired man talks on his cell phone.
The press starts to say we got a serial killer on our hands. This'll blow up. Keep this under control, Richard, or your retirement can come sooner than you planned. You got it?
Okay, sir.
All right, go handle it.
Thank you.
A cop walks up.
Commissioner Dormer, sir, they're ready for you.
Dormer approaches reporters.
Sir, over here, please. Thank you.
While searching for a missing prostitute, one of our officers has located four bodies in an area along Ocean Parkway.
Were the bodies all left there by the same person?
I can't say that. This is an anomaly. This... There's no need for panic. It's all right, sir. Thank you.
Sir, we just have one more, sir.
Hey, I need you to cover for me tonight. Yeah, I gotta go back. Yeah, the police station. They found bodies. Yeah, I'm about to tell them now. Okay, thanks, I owe you.
Mary hangs up as her daughters approach.
Hey.
We gotta go back to Suffolk County.
Mom, what's going on?
Mary hands a pill to Sarah.
Mom.
They don't tell you that over the phone.
Mary steps toward her SUV. The SUV makes a left turn toward a highway. Then, Mary and the girls sit in the Suffolk County Police Station. Dean converses with Dormer in another room. Mary eyes Dean through a glass partition.
When the units rolled up, this is a ghost. Residents, they seemed pretty calm about it. Everything seemed to be kosher.
They figured that it was a domestic disturbance, which resolved itself.
What do you know about Oak Beach?
I know the guys like to go to parties out there once in a while. Why?
What kind of parties?
Oh, come on, Richard. You know, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, kids and errors. Come on, you know, come on.
You think this is some kind of joke?
No, I don't. Look, she's not in my fucking trunk. Your real problem is that one out there. She's feisty.
Dormer stands and steps toward the partition.
Okay. Let me handle it.
Dean walks toward Mary and the girls.
Okay, ladies, come with me, please. This way. Come on. Let's go.
The girls follow Dean. Mary stands and eyes Dormer. She sits with Dean and Dormer in another room. Dormer slides a cup of coffee toward Mary and sits across from her at a table.
Mrs. Gilbert, thank you for coming so quickly. I'm Commissioner Dormer. I know it was a long time.
Are any of them hurt?
It appears not. But we are working a grid as we speak. Tomorrow morning we begin the aerial searches, first thing.
That's assuming she's... You're searching everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you some questions about Shannon, if that's okay. Is there anything that you can tell me about the men in Shannon's life?
She has a boyfriend, Alex Diaz.
Anybody else we should be looking at?
A driver, Pack, Michael Pack. What about the doctor?
What doctor?
He called me the morning after she went missing. He said he saw her and he helped her. He runs a home for wayward girls. What about her jacket?
We have the jacket and it's being tested.
Dormer and Dean exchange a look.
Can you recall this doctor's name?
Mary closes her eyes.
Harper Haskell?
Yes, okay.
I don't remember.
It's okay. It's okay. Mrs. Gilbert, there's a lot we don't know at the moment, which is why it's really important that you don't talk to the media. Let us handle that. One wrong word and they'll make a meal out of it. It's in your best interest.
Sharon's too.
It's Shannon.
On TV.
The beautiful beaches of Long Island, New York have become the latest backdrop in a murder mystery.
Victims were engaged in a high-risk business, and these homicides appear to us to be directly related to that business.
The Office of the Medical Examiner determined the cause of death for the four women to be strangulation, each body meticulously placed in birth.
24-year-old Shannon Gilbert, a prostitute from Jersey City.
Mary turns off the TV. Cherie braids Sarah's hair.
I wish you wouldn't call her a prostitute.
Yeah, what do you expect them to call her, a lawyer? I always told you girls, the choices you make eventually catch up with you.
Hey, you've never said that. And it sounds like you're blaming her.
Maybe I should blame you for not telling me she's in an abusive relationship.
Like you not telling me she was a prostitute? Why didn't you do anything? What else aren't you telling me?
Mary avoids Cherie's gaze. Cherie stomps away, leaving Sarah's hair half braided. Then, Dormer and Dean interrogate Michael.
I was waiting in the car like usual, playing words with friends. And that's when the John, this fat fuck, comes up to the window and he says,
You gotta get her out of my house.
So I went inside, and Shannon was behind a couch on her hands and knees, shaking. And she called 911. She started screaming.
What are you doing? Shannon, no, stop doing it. Shannon!
So then I said, I'm trying to help you.
Shannon's boyfriend.
Finally, I said, fuck it. You know, and just drove to Oak Beach to knock on doors myself. I talked to the John. I met this guy with a limp who was actually willing to help.
What was the name of the John?
Brewer. He must have done something to spook her.
Wind rustles trees outside a wood-paneled beach house. Cops climb the stairs outside the house and look into a window. They put Shannon's portly client into the back of a cruiser. Mary watches TV.
Suffolk County police are questioning an Oak Beach resident in connection with the disappearance of Shannon Gilbert and have identified the four skeletons along Ocean Parkway as Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Barthelemy, Amber Costello, and Megan Waterman. All sex workers advertising on Craigslist to have been missing since as far back as 2007 and as recently as 3 months ago. Commissioner...
Why are we learning about this on the goddamn Today Show?
Mary looks up and frowns. Cherie smiles.
What do you think?
Her laptop displays a social media page titled, Praying for Shannon Maria Gilbert.
All the other girls have one.
All the other girls are dead.
Their families invited us to a vigil.
You've been talking to them?
Online.
We're not going to any vigil.
Why not?
Because Shannon's not dead. Yes, I'd like to speak to Commissioner Dormer. Okay, you tell him this is Mary Gilbert calling, and if I don't hear back from him within the hour, I'm going to drive my car into his front fucking lawn. Okay, I'll see you at dinner.
Mary leaves the deflated girls. Then, she holds a phone to her ear as she watches a TV in the office trailer.
Oak Beach resident Joseph Brewer, the man who hired Shannon Gilbert, has been cleared by Suffolk County Police after taking a polygraph, leaving two questions still unanswered. Who is killing sex workers on Long Island, and where is Shannon Gilbert?
Police have identified the remains of four women.
All it's the 20th goddamn time I've called. What are they doing to find her, and why did they let that fuck go?
Shannon Gilbert, a prostitute who went missing last week after apparently meeting a client through Craigslist.
Are dozens more murdered women, dumped like trash, on the same strip of beach waiting to be uncovered. We are alive at the beach turned burial ground.
Girls. Very available, they're very vulnerable. They have no family, and there's nobody out there looking for them.
Mary places a sheet of paper onto a copy machine. A bandage covers the burn on her right hand. Missing posters featuring Shannon's photo issue from the side of the machine. In a fitting room, Mary puts on a blazer with matching trousers and a collared shirt. She smooths her hair and stares at her reflection. Outside, she rips off a price tag. Her SUV moves along a highway. At the Suffolk County station, she staples multiple posters to a bulletin board. Dormer approaches as Dean and three others hang back and watch.
What's going on, Mrs. Gilbert?
Either your phone's broke or your secretary's a moron, because I must have left 50 messages for you. This is my daughter, Shannon Maria Gilbert. There's one here for every day that she's missing, and I'm going to continue posting these until you either find her or die of paper cuts. Do not ignore me.
Nobody is ignoring you, Mrs. Gilbert.
I have a talent for holding grudges, and unless you help me, I'm going to raise more hell than you can handle. And don't you ever fucking call my daughter a prostitute again!
She shoots a glare toward the watching officers and leaves. In her bedroom, Cherie sits at her laptop.
Okay, tell them we'll do the vigil, but tell them we want to meet them first and make sure everybody comes.
What are you wearing?
Cherie smirks. Mary closes the door. Cherie writes a social media message. Good news, we're coming. We'll stay at the motel with you until the vigil on Sunday. See you tomorrow at the restaurant. Now, Dormer and Dean interrogate Michael, hooked up to a polygraph machine.
It's a long way to Oak Beach. What were you guys talking about?
I don't know. Work. Or weather.
Her and her boyfriend sneaking Taco Bell in a new Freddy movie over at the Hudson Mall.
Did she say anything about going to visit her mom?
A grin spreads on Michael's face.
Are you serious? Do you know anything about her mom?
Mary sits in the SUV with the girls. She stares out of the open window.
Oh my God, these women are so pathetic. The less we say, the better. We don't need them knowing our personal business. What's that for?
My notebook. I'm gonna take notes.
Mary rolls her eyes. They sit in a restaurant with four others.
Maybe we should go around.
Our young brunette with glasses.
I'm Missy. I drove in from Connecticut for my sister, Maureen. It's so good to finally meet all of you in person.
Cherie eyes Mary.
Say something.
Mary stares ahead impassively. A blue-eyed woman looks around.
Lorraine. My daughter's Megan. I sold my TV to be here from Maine, so I have the cash to stay here until the vigil.
A smiling woman.
I'm Lynn. My daughter is Melissa. This is my other daughter, Amanda. We came here from Buffalo.
A young blonde woman approaches from outside.
Oh. Kim is here.
Kim wears big hoop earrings, a rainbow scarf, and a sparkling bindi on her forehead.
Sorry I'm late, y'all. We were just going around introducing ourselves, where we're from, who we've lost.
Okay. Kim, North Carolina. I like Rocky Road ice cream and long walks on the beach, and my sister was Amber.
Kim swigs an energy drink.
Did I miss anything?
In his office, Dormer listens to a recording.
Do you know anything about her, Mom? Because she's a real piece of work. Yeah, abandoned her own daughter when she was just a kid. Shannon was in and out of foster homes her whole life. All her mom is good for is taking her money. Doesn't even care how Shannon made it. Just as long as she shared the wealth.
At the restaurant.
My daughter had three cell phones.
My daughter had three cell phones.
She was working on the Craigslist.
Yes, so did Maureen.
So did Melissa.
Yeah, they all did. That's why they're all so the same. Because online, you can practically go shopping.
Sooner or later, they're going to get this guy. There's got to be some computer trace they can do.
Mm-mm. Oh, they don't get you on email. You post a number and then they call.
Which is untraceable because the girls work on burner phones.
Look at you knowing your shit.
I think they're all drug addicts. Melissa wasn't even into drugs.
Neither was Marie.
She drank.
Well, drinking's better than drugs because it's legal.
A coke is the best way to keep a call going.
Make some real bank.
Mary glares at Kim.
Your girls knew that, whether you want to believe it or not.
Lorraine stares at her hands.
They told me Megan was where she wants to be. That she didn't love me.
Lynn wipes her hands over her face.
As sad as it is, I feel some kind of relief.
Yeah, at least they're finally paying attention.
Are you shitting me? If you think they give one goddamn about these girls, you're delusional. They weren't searching for them. A cop stopped along the side of the road to let his dog take a shit. He accidentally found them.
What I meant was, at least it's on the news. I mean, people are aware of it.
Have you watched the news? It's all, he's a cop, he's a clammer, he's this, he's that. It's all him, him, him. What about our girls? Who's talking about them? And when they do, it's prostitute, hooker, sex worker, escort, never friend, sister, mother, daughter. They don't care. They blame them. And it's our job as mothers and sisters to make sure these girls are not forgotten.
So should we wait on the vigil?
No, we're doing the vigil. We're going to Oak Beach, to their front fucking yard.
A two-lane highway runs through a vast field of reeds. large multi-story houses stand by the water on the other side of the reeds. A delicately carved wooden sign by a one-lane road reads, Oak Island Beach. Mary staples one of the missing posters to it. The others gather behind her. A news van pulls up.
Who tipped them off?
Mary smirks. A resident frowns on her porch nearby.
This is a private community. I'll call the police.
Go ahead. It'll take them an hour to get here.
The group ducks under a barrier arm and strolls into Oak Beach.
Speaking of which, can I borrow your phone?
Sure. What?
They already know my number.
Mary takes Lorraine's phone.
There's a crazy lady about to tear through Oak Beach. Come quick.
She hands the phone back to Lorraine. The group walks along the one-lane road. A portly gray-haired resident glances up as he sweeps his porch. Another resident pulls down a window shade as the group moves through the community. Mary stops by an opening in the thick brush lining the road.
Who lives here?
Son of a bitch, who hired her?
Mary steps into the opening. A resident stands behind louvered glass windows and brings a pair of binoculars to his eyes. He watches from the other side of the road as Mary and her two daughters walk toward Joseph Brewer's house. Mary climbs the wooden steps leading to a porch. Cherie and Sarah stay on the ground. Mary lifts a knocker by a sliding glass door. She leans toward the glass, covered on the inside by a lacy curtain. Mary peers through the lace and into the empty living room. She takes a step back. Mary staples a missing poster to the wooden door frame. She turns and leans against the sliding glass door. Her chest rises and falls as she gazes out over the windswept landscape surrounding the house.
Mom?
On the ground, Sarah picks up a large hoop earring.
Mom!
Mary descends and takes the earring from Sarah. Dormer approaches. Mary marches toward him.
Now we both know you can show up on time and your secretary's not a retard.
Can we just go back to my office and talk about this?
We'll talk right here.
This is a private community.
Well, then why don't you arrest me?
Listen, I came here to do you a favor. I don't want to see you hauled away in handcuffs. Don't you understand that when the uniforms get here, they are going to cite you for trespassing?
Okay, let me get this straight. My daughter calls for help, but it takes you an hour to get here. But the Stepford wives call you, and you show up in less time than it takes to make a sandwich?
Whatever it is that you're looking for, Mrs. Gilbert, it is not here.
Okay, then why did my 14-year-old just find her sister's earring outside the home of the man that you just set free? Shannon went screaming through here at 4:51 in the morning, and no one helped her. Where is the outrage? Where's the concern? Four dead bodies show up in my neighborhood, I'd be shouting from the rooftops to get to the bottom of it. What are they hiding?
What are you hiding, Mrs. Gilbert? You never tell me that Shannon grew up in foster care.
Mary turns. A cameraman films nearby.
You never told me that you nearly got shit-canned for mismanaging your department. Keep up the good work, Commissioner.
Mary holds up the earring. Dormer takes it. Mary strides back toward the group, waiting by the main road. Dormer stares down at the earring in his hands.
Toxic.
At the Shoreline Motel, the group of mothers and sisters gathers in one of the rooms.
I wrote down every house number and license plate I saw. We need to talk to these people and these people. They might have seen her.
No one's gonna talk because they want us out. These guys are all looking out for each other. They all have friends in Suffolk PD.
The police said everybody passed lie detector tests.
Yeah, but anybody can pass a lie detector test if all they ask you is what's your name and what's your favorite color.
It sounds like Shannon's running from her driver. You can hear him in the 911 call.
That didn't make any sense. I don't care how fucked up I am, my ass is going to that driver because he's my way out. He's my safety. It's what you pay him for.
Well, maybe he was mad she didn't pay him.
Why would she all of a sudden not pay her driver?
Maybe because she was bringing money home.
Okay, so you don't know she didn't pay him, you're just guessing.
Well, I'm assuming. She's probably forced to get stoned, drunk, high.
Not forced.
Okay, whatever.
I'm just saying, I've lived it.
Well, I'm just saying, you're not Shannon.
Mary, I feel for you more than I feel for myself or any of the other ladies here because Shannon's still missing. And no one's better than not knowing. But you don't really think that...
Mary shoots Kim a look. Amanda draws, keeping her eyes on her paper. Kim glances away, then meets Mary's gaze.
I'm just saying it might be good to accept that there's another ending to all this.
What's that ending if you know so goddamn much?
Mary stands and moves toward the kitchen. Later, by herself, Mary picks at the bandage on her hand. She removes it, revealing an inflamed pink burn at the base of her thumb and forefinger. Mary flexes her hand. She rests it on her lap and makes a fist. Mary reaches for her flip phone. She scrolls through photos of her daughters. A faint smile crosses her lips. Her screen displays a call from an unknown number.
Hello?
Is this Mary Gilbert?
Yes.
My name's Joe Scalise. I have some information you're going to want to hear.
Later, Mary sits in her parked car as raindrops bead on the windshield. Mary shifts her gaze. In front of her, a restaurant's lights turn off. A sedan pulls up and parks on Mary's left. She glances toward it. Mary grabs her keys. She makes a fist, clenching a key between her index and middle fingers. The sedan's driver opens the passenger side door. Mary tentatively exits her car. A middle-aged man sits in the sedan's driver's seat, staring ahead. Mary sits next to him. The sedan backs out of the parking space. The man, Joe Scalise, drives Mary along the dark highway.
I'm a neighbor of Joe Brewer, the John. I got your number from one of those flyers you posted. Suffolk PD don't return my calls no more. You're gonna learn that the good people of Oak Beach, they live by one thing, it's this. Be wary of those who would ruin a very good thing. You are, madame, the wayfarer they've been dreading.
Joe jerks his head from side to side. Mary eyeballs him uncertainly as they head toward Oak Beach. Then, Cherie and Kim talk outside.
I didn't know Shannon was a prostitute. I didn't know she was bringing home money. She doesn't let anyone help her. I thought we were doing this together. So fucking annoying.
Amanda, Sarah, and Missy approach.
Sorry.
We weren't following you.
We kind of were. What are you two talking about?
Families.
Yeah.
Tell me something nice about Shannon.
She graduated high school 2 years early. She was smart. She was the first one in our family to go to college. And I called her Diva. She's such a little diva.
Amherst did
4'11" and weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. Her legs look like little chicken drumsticks.
Kim's eyes glisten.
I spoke to her the day that she went missing. We're in a fight.
Cherie gives a slight nod. She extends a hand to Kim. Kim gives a small smile. Now, a headlight shines through the sedan's fogged-up rear windshield. Mary sits tensed inside. Joe holds up a pair of galoshes. He and Mary trudge through the reeds.
You're walking through what used to be the killer's dumping ground. He only moved the bodies to the road because this whole area is set to be drained as part of the Mosquito Project. That means people poking around, seeing things they shouldn't.
They approach a locked shed with windows.
Here. Look. This is where he keeps his supplies.
But where?
Mary's flashlight illuminates burlap inside the shed.
Go, go, go.
They duck behind the shed as a car approaches. A white-haired man steps toward the nearby house. Joe turns to Mary.
Joe Brewer didn't kill Shannon. He may be a sociopath, but he's not the psychopath. That honor goes to Peter Hackett.
Dr. Hackett.
The white-haired man shuffles inside. Then, Dormer walks with Dean outside the motel.
Look, I know you and your buddies don't give a shit. Don't worry, you're not gonna have to put up with me for much longer. But for the moment, this is my case, okay? I want a suspect, I want a name.
Okay. Peter Hackett, Dr. Peter Hackett. He lives in Oak Beach.
It's nice to see you again, Ms. Gilbert.
I saw spools of burlap in a shed by his house.
Come on, what are you talking about? Every clamor, every contractor, every landscaper's got burlap by his house, all right? Come on.
But a doctor?
I tell you what, why don't you let the policemen do the police work, huh, honey?
Why don't you suck my dick?
Ah, oh, classic.
This is the guy who called me the morning after she disappeared. He said that he helped her. Come on, aren't you going to write it down?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Write it down.
What?
I said, write it down.
Inside, Sarah dozes on the bed. Her hand rests atop the covers, exposing ragged fingernails and raw cuticles. Cherie sits next to her, resting her neatly manicured hand on Sarah's shoulder. Cherie stares off with a vacant expression as lights from the outside briefly illuminate the room. In the bathroom, Mary brushes her teeth. Cherie enters behind her.
I googled Sarah's medication, so I know it's a mood stabilizer. She told me you took her to a psychiatrist. Why didn't you tell me?
There's nothing to tell. It takes 6 weeks for the medication to have any effect, so we'll know more then.
The next day, Mary's SUV drives along the brush-lined highway under an overcast sky. She stands outside near a tall tree waving in the wind. Mary glances around. A multi-story house with an asymmetrical peaked roof stands beyond the trees and reeds. Weathered wooden shingles cover the sides of the house. Mary walks up a set of wooden steps and approaches a glass front door. Mary purses her lips. She eyes a sign by the door that reads, "Be nice or leave."
Hello, can I help you?
Mary descends the stairs. An elderly man feeds chickens nearby.
Peter Hackett's the best neighbor you can have. Ever there's a problem, he's always the first one to call.
Do you remember anything from that night?
Yeah, that girl was pretty well drugged up.
What?
She couldn't hardly stand.
Excuse me?
Fell down twice when I was talking
Wait,
to her.
You saw her? Why didn't you call the police?
I did.
What was she saying?
It wasn't making sense. Help me, help me. They're going to kill me. So I sat her down on the porch and I said, relax. I told her that I called the police and they were on their way. Okay. As soon as I said that, she ran. Anyhow.
What?
She fell down the stairs and she ran that way.
Mary lifts her gaze.
Wait, do those security cameras work?
Indoors, a woman with a short, wavy bob cuts out photos of dogs. Mary enters a building with a sign, Oak Island Beach Association. The short-haired woman looks up.
Is this where they keep the security footage?
Are you from the news? We unfortunately don't have it from that night. It gets taped over automatically, runs on a loop. I'm sorry.
But the police got a copy, right?
We found it odd. They never asked.
Mary squeezes her eyes shut and works her jaw.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Why didn't you give it to them?
Why don't I get my husband? He oversees all that. I just came by to drop off his lunch.
Mary rolls her eyes as the woman leaves. Mary glances around the wood-paneled room. Framed photos and maps hang on the wall. She studies one vintage photo labeled Oak Island Police Parade. Another bears a plaque reading Suffolk County Patrolman's Benevolent Society. The white-haired man enters, smiling.
How can I help you? Dr. Peter Hackett. My wife tells me you're a reporter. I've lived here for 30 years. There's not a thing I don't know about Oak Beach. We're like a miniature government here, and I pound the gavel.
Hackett extends his hand. Mary gives him a sharp look. His smile fades.
Barbara, why don't you put on some coffee?
It's on, dear.
And why don't you refresh it?
Hackett's wife, Barbara, eyes Mary, then leaves.
I recognize you from the news. I'm so sorry.
What happened?
Well, that's the $64,000 question.
But you called me.
I beg your pardon?
Mary's brow furrows. Then, a police SUV moves along the highway.
Unit reports to mile marker 10.46 Ocean Parkway for possible remains sighting.
The SUV pulls over.
Just arrived and going to check it out. Stand by.
A bearded cop exits the SUV. He strides in front of the SUV and clambers up a grassy dune. The cop pauses. He gazes over the top of the dune.
We got a 1054 on Ocean Parkway near Cedar Beach. Fuck.
Figures move across the beach. An officer wears plastic boot covers and sweeps a metal detector over the sand. Nearby, Mary follows Dormer up a grassy dune.
Last place Shannon was seen was in clear view of a video camera, and Hackett's in charge of the footage.
Okay, I'll look into it.
He erased it.
A cop holds a paper bag.
What, did you find something?
Mrs. Gilbert, you really shouldn't be here. Can you take her to the road?
What did you find? Let go of me. What's in the bag?
This one's not like the other four. Those were in the bramble a mile away. And no burlap on this one either, or highway bones.
Any indication of a jaw plate?
No, sir.
Right, let's go.
Dormer moves across the dune. The officer follows him. More officers search the beach. Three people wear clean suit coveralls. One holds a German Shepherd on a leash. Two others wear wetsuits and scuba diving gear. They continue searching in news footage.
Two dozen police recruits expanded the search for bodies today from the thicket to the beach. Suffolk County Police also expanded the total search area. This platoon of recruits conducted a grid pattern search on Cedar Beach. It's between Gilgo and Oak Beach where the previous bodies were found. Since last year, the search has been hampered by the harsh conditions in the thicket. Hard, wiry brush called Virginia weepers and bittersweet so thick You cannot see a person or dog just 10 feet away.
In their motel room, Mary and the girl sit on the bed. Mary types into a search bar.
Dr. Peter Hackett.
Missy enters with her own laptop.
Kim's working again. Carolina is her street name. She posted this an hour ago.
Oh, Kim. What is she thinking?
The screen displays a listing with a provocative photo of Kim, then at Hackett's house.
I'm a busy guy. I make and take a lot of calls. But how would I call a woman I don't even know? I'm a doctor, not a magician.
Inside, Hackett limps downstairs. Dormer sits nearby.
She said that you told her that you helped her daughter.
I hope she doesn't blame herself for the life her daughter led. But apples don't fall far from the tree. Am I right?
Hackett sits facing Dormer.
So, what do you remember from that night?
I think that's when Barbara and I were in Florida.
Oh.
You ever been marlin fishing?
But you were here. Because when the daughter's boyfriend came the next morning to look for her, didn't you offer to help search for her?
Florida might have been the week before.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I saw this kid tooling around, and he told me a story, and I couldn't turn him away. That's what we do around here. Around here, we help people.
Dormer raises his eyebrows.
With all due respect, Dr. Hackett, you're living in a gated community with a sign that says, be nice or leave. I don't know that sends that particular message.
Look, the police came. They said everything was kosher.
Right. But why didn't you show them the security footage?
Why didn't they ask for it? This is not my investigation, Kim Osabi. You're the head honcho. Maybe you ought to teach your cops better.
Hackett suppresses a grin.
A girl goes missing, and you have a tape? Are you telling me that you didn't at least watch it?
Hackett leans forward.
That would be tampering with evidence. Am I right?
Hackett smiles. Dormer wears a stony expression. Outside, Dormer faces the shed. His flashlight illuminates a sign on it reading, "Private property, no trespassing." Dormer's gaze moves around the shed and the surrounding area. He steps toward the shed and leans close to a window. He shines his flashlight inside. Plastic sheeting covers a surface in the shed. Then, Mary paces in Joe Scalise's house.
Peter Hackett is a self-important blowhard. The very fact that he's not leading the charge in this is all the evidence you need to point a finger.
Okay, if that's true, why wasn't Shannon found with the other girls?
Because the attack on her didn't go as planned. She'd gone off running. People had seen her. The police came. It just became too risky. He tells people that he runs a home for wayward girls, that he rehabs them, that he saves them. What he really means is he buries them. He's got an examination table in his living room. And his home for wayward girls is just code for a graveyard.
Then where is Shannon?
In his backyard, the marsh.
Joe stands by his louvered windows. He lifts a pair of binoculars to his eyes, then hands them to Mary. Mary gazes at the thicket of reeds and trees surrounding Hackett's house.
It's the one place they haven't searched.
Trees and thick, scrubby brush cover the landscape. Next, Dormer sits in his office, studying a file. Dean enters.
Found another one. Pieces dismembered. Forensic says it matches a pair of severed legs found in the plastic bag in 96.
96?
Yeah, 96.
Are you Are you telling me that somebody's been dumping bodies in Ocean Parkway for 15 fucking years?
Well, looks like it. Hey, what is this?
Shannon Gilbert's medical records?
Come on, seriously, you really think you're gonna find any answers in these medical records? Look, if she was still around, we would have found her by now. I mean, honestly, who spends this much time looking for a missing hooker?
At the motel, Kim smokes outside. Mary sidles up on the right, facing the same direction. Mary glances over her shoulder at Kim.
If you're here to give me some big speech, save it. I already heard it from the others.
Kim, I know you're strong and you think you can handle whatever comes your way, but this is just plain stupid.
Everyone has their destiny. Maybe Amber's was Amber's, and maybe this is mine.
You don't really believe that. You're only doing this because deep down you think that's all you're worth, but that's not true.
You tell that to Shannon?
Mary compresses her lips. She blinks and shifts her weight.
I got Amber into this, you know?
Kim stubs out her cigarette and rises. She locks eyes with Mary.
You tried, Mary.
Kim walks away. Mary furrows her brow. Inside, Cherie and Sarah wear t-shirts with photos of the missing girls. Cherie tosses a shirt to Mary.
Here.
Thank you.
Lynn's boyfriend knew a guy. We're all wearing him to the vigil.
Mary smiles and puts it on. Lorraine enters.
Turn on the TV.
What?
On TV, Dormer holds a press conference.
There's also no evidence to suggest that it's the work of a single killer. Although Shannon Gilbert coincidentally went missing at the same time in the same place, she doesn't fit the victim profile. She was the only one who didn't come to Oak Beach alone because she had a driver. We will continue to look for her, but until we find evidence of foul play, Miss Gilbert will no longer be considered a part of this larger case.
That's all for the moment.
Fuck.
Mary opens her flip phone. In another room, Sarah sits wringing her hands.
Yeah, this is Mary Gilbert.
Cherie enters.
Hey, you okay?
They stopped looking for Shannon. They're not looking for her anymore.
It's okay.
What are we gonna do?
Hey,
what is this?
That's why we're here.
The sisters embrace. Cherie cradles the back of Sarah's head. A glossy late model SUV pulls up outside the motel.
I'll just be a minute.
Dormer exits the front passenger seat. Mary storms outside.
How can you say Shannon's not connected? She was last seen 3 miles from the other girls. She was in her 20s, just like them. She was small, just like them. She was on Craigslist, just like them. None of those other girls would have been found if it wasn't for her.
It doesn't mean that we're going to stop looking for her, Mrs. Gilbert.
Mom, what about Hackett?
Even if he did call you, it's not evidence of guilt.
Lying about it is.
I understand that you're angry, Mrs. Gilbert, but a policeman deals in evidence. Not anger.
What fortune cookie did you read that in?
Mom, can you hurry up? They're waiting for...
Give me a minute.
Cherie withdraws. Dormer guides Mary around a corner. Cherie listens from inside.
You have no clue what worry really is.
We have Shannon's medical records.
Yeah, what do they say? I'll tell you what they don't say. They don't say how she used to shove her fingers down her throat and puke until her mouth bled. They don't say how she ran out into the snow one night with no clothes on and nearly froze half to death while I was out working graveyards and doubles just to keep the lights on.
No. Look, Mary, I know that you gave her away to foster care, and I know you think it's your responsibility to bring her home again.
But this isn't on you.
I'm her mother. It's all on me.
Mary shoots him a sidelong look. Cherie shifts in her seat. Mary sits nearby. She rests her forehead on her hand.
You gave her away?
Oh, for fuck's sake, Cherie. Can we not do this right now?
You lied to me.
I didn't lie.
You told me the state took her.
What was I supposed to say? Mommy gave your sister away because she couldn't get her the help she needed? Do you think I wanted that for Shannon? Do you think I didn't try to do everything in my power to get her the help she needed? Shannon was bipolar. She was a mess. I took her to doctors I couldn't afford, who gave her drugs that she wouldn't take, that had side effects that I couldn't stand to watch. I was just a kid.
What she needed was love. You know, the only thing she ever wanted her whole fucking life.
Okay, how do you know what she felt?
Because I feel it too, Mom. Shannon may be gone, but I'm still here. I'm still here.
Oh, my God. These fucking women, they brainwashed you. You want to know why they're so dead set on this vigil? It's their way of denying what god-awful mothers and sisters they were. And they've convinced you that we're like them, but we are not, honey. We are nothing like them.
You're right. No, we're not like them at all. They're a family. I wish they were my family.
Okay, well, maybe your new family will pay for your college because I sure as shit can't afford it.
Are you gonna give away Sarah next?
Tall grasses and shrubs wave in the breeze. Reporters film and photograph the group as they gather by the entrance to Oak Beach. Mary is absent. Kim, Cherie, Missy, and Lorraine stand at the front of the group as the sun sets behind them. They hold candles and a sign with Shannon's name and photo. Mary sits in her SUV, parked by the water. She stares out at the water under a twilight, cloudy sky. Mary hangs her head. Later, outside the motel, she approaches a door. She steps back as Kim exits, carrying her belongings. Kim gives a tense grin.
You're leaving now?
Yeah.
Kim hugs herself and bounces slightly. Mary wraps her arms around Kim. Kim returns the embrace. Kim fights back tears. She buries her face in Mary's shoulder.
Take care of your girls, okay? You're lucky. You know?
Kim nods. She adjusts a bag hanging from her shoulder. Kim touches Mary's arm, then walks away from the motel. Inside, Cherie holds her flip phone to her ear.
This is
Cherie hangs up. Outside, Mary sits at a picnic table and smokes. She closes her eyes. Inside, Sarah lies on her side, picking at her fingers. Her brow furrows and her dark eyes stare ahead. Outside, Kim leans against a brick wall, wearing a dark wig. Her breath fogs in the air. She takes a drag from a cigarette and opens her jacket as a car approaches. The car stops. Kim extinguishes her cigarette and gets in. In the morning, Mary sits in her parked car outside the motel. Her daughters stand with Missy, Lynn, and Amanda nearby. Lorraine approaches and proffers a pack of cigarettes. Mary keeps her gaze fixed ahead.
You can be a real asshole, you know that? Which are an asshole people listen to. If they don't, you make them. I don't got what you got. Neither does she or her, any of us. I mean, we was never gonna be Mother of the Year, but given the circumstances, you get my vote.
A vast expanse of reeds and thick underbrush stands between the large houses and the highway. A bridge spans the water beyond the houses. Mary drives along the highway. Cherie stares out the passenger side window. Sarah weeps in the back seat. Cherie bites her lip and glances back at her sister. The SUV's right turn signal blinks as it approaches an exit toward Ellenville. The screen goes black. Text appears, 1 year later. In Ellenville, a woman passes Mary's house under a misty sky. Mary's SUV sits parked outside. Inside, an overdue bill from a psychiatric center rests on a table, amongst other clutter. A knife block stands empty in the kitchen. Prescription bottles litter another surface. Mary watches Shannon's talent show video. Sarah lies with her head in Mary's lap and her eyes closed. A bandage wraps around her left wrist. Her notebook lies open in her lap, covered in dark, messy scribbles. Mary takes a deep breath. Next, Mary approaches a partly open bedroom door. She pushes it open and enters Cherie's bedroom. Mary leans over the sleeping Cherie and lays an envelope on the bed in front of her. She moves to touch Cherie's arm, then hesitates. Mary withdraws her hand and leaves the bedroom. Cherie opens her eyes. She glances at her closed bedroom door. Her gaze falls on the thick envelope in front of her. She picks it up. A smile flickers on her face. Mary picks up her phone.
Hello?
Is this Mary?
Yes. Well, great. Call Robin Leach.
His car is already packed. He's gonna disappear. If you ever want to talk to him, this could be your last chance.
Mary's car moves along a parallel steel arch bridge. She drives down the narrow road toward Oak Beach. Mary stands outside Hackett's house, next to a boat resting in his yard. She looks around and moves toward the house. Then, she sits at his dining table.
You want to talk? Talk? You've already upended my life. You're implying I chased after this girl. I can't catch up to myself walking backwards.
He knocks on his left leg.
Yes.
When I was young, I was stranded on a skiff in the water, in the dark.
Mary eyes medical tools and gloves resting nearby.
I was all alone, scared I was gonna die. And I saw this boat. It was far away, but I sent up a flare, and they came to save me.
She turns a walnut over in her hands.
The next day, I enrolled in emergency medicine.
Hackett sits by Mary.
Ever since, my specialty has been saving lives.
She stares at him.
If she's out there, we gotta find her.
Hackett smiles.
You're the real hero.
He stands.
A mother who would go to any lengths for her daughter.
He rubs Mary's shoulder. She tenses.
That is true heroism.
Mary crushes the walnut with her bare hands. Then she sits in Dormer's office. File boxes rest behind his desk.
Oh, Mrs. Gilbert. Nice to see you again.
Don't worry, I left my staple gun at home.
So how'd you get in my office?
It's not your office anymore.
True. Yeah, they put me out to pasture, as they say.
What do you think you'll be most remembered for?
What can I help you with?
Why haven't you searched the marsh? It's the only place in Oak Beach you haven't searched.
Because a grown man can't get through there. Never mind a 100-pound girl.
Yeah, but it borders Anchor Way, where Shannon was last seen, and Larboard Court, where Peter Hackett lives.
Ah, so this is about Hackett. We've already cleared him.
What? You gotta talk to Joe Scalise.
Joe Scalise is a paranoid conspiracy freak. He and Hackett hate each other. Some dispute they had years ago over land. He wants to bury Hackett. Maybe he's given you the shovel.
What about her jacket? If Hackett had contact with Shannon, her jacket would prove it. It would have skin cells or fibers on it or something.
We don't have the jacket. When they first picked it up, Shannon wasn't officially missing, and it got lost.
Mary stands.
What is this, some kind of cover-up? Or just incompetence? Search the marsh, or I'm going on the news.
She leaves. Dormer furrows his brow. At Dormer's retirement party, someone takes a slice of cake. Dormer sits at a table surveying the room. Men dance with women wearing skimpy, glittering clothing. A woman in thigh-high stockings gyrates by the seated dean. He rests a hand on her hip and stares at her behind. Another scantily clad woman rests a hand on Dormer's shoulder. He waves her off. A woman in shiny pink hot pants moves on the dance floor. Dormer stares ahead, his eyes unfocused. Then, Mary drives away from the Shoreline Motel.
A year ago, the police first discovered the remains of three bodies dumped along the side of the road off Ocean Park.
She turns off her radio. An unmarked police car drives by in the opposite direction. A large emergency vehicle and a cruiser follow. Mary glances at them as they pass. A truck follows, towing a backhoe. Mary's lips part. Then, she approaches a group of reporters and onlookers at the side of the highway. Yellow police tape separates them from a group of officers working in the reeds.
What's happening?
They're draining the marsh. I'm looking for that hooker.
Mary!
Lorraine!
They embrace.
What are you doing here?
I came for the anniversary vigil. Others are on the way. Hey, don't worry. We're not gonna let you go through this alone. All right?
News footage.
Heavy equipment, including a backhoe, were brought in to dig through the thick brush and marsh. The commissioner says the area was too tough for the searchers to get through on foot.
Here in Oak Beach, missing sex worker Shannon Gilbert was last seen alive, leaving a client's house.
During the search for Shannon Gilbert last year, four other bodies were discovered. There are now 10 sets of remains, half of whom are still unidentified.
According to the police, Shannon Gilbert's disappearance is unrelated to those.
We believe that Shannon Gilbert ran into that area the night she disappeared. She's in there someplace, and we're going to do everything we can to find her.
Mary sits in Lorraine's parked car, talking on her cell phone. Hackett's house looms behind them in the twilight.
Thanks, Missy. Yeah, I owe you. Okay, see you soon. Missy's gonna pick up the girls on her way.
Your hands are shaking.
They say not knowing's worse than knowing, but I'm not so sure. If they find her, I know she's gone. They'll still be angry. If they don't find her, I have hope.
Yeah, but you're still angry.
How do I get rid of the anger?
Well, you stop blaming yourself. It's not your fault.
Hey,
yeah?
I think we got something. What do you got down here?
Mary and Lorraine lock eyes. In the dark, a pair of headlights shines in a rearview mirror. Bright light illuminates the back of the brunette's head. She sprints away from the headlights. Now, in the dark, Mary jogs away from a bright light. She ducks under the police tape and strides toward Dormer. Another officer blocks her way.
What do they find?
Let her through.
Get the fuck out of my way! What did they find?
Let her through.
What's over there? What's over there? What is it? Tell me right now, goddammit, what did you find? Please.
Dormer fixes Mary with a somber gaze. He guides her to a patch of flattened reeds with three people wearing clean suit coveralls.
Officer.
An officer hands over a plastic baggie. Dormer shines his flashlight on an opened wallet inside. Mary gently takes the plastic-wrapped wallet. She runs her thumb over the driver's license. It bears the name Shannon. Mary's lips part. She glances at Dormer, then stares back down at the wallet. Reeds and branches wave in the wind under the dark sky. Inside a tent, Missy rubs Cherie's back. Sarah lies with her head in Missy's lap. Mary enters with Lorraine and Lynn. Cherie looks up. Her lip trembles. Cherie stands. Mary grips her arms and stares into her daughter's eyes. Mary shakes her head. Her face crumples. Cherie rests her hand on Mary's cheek. They press their foreheads together.
I'm sorry.
Cherie shakes her head. Mary kisses Cherie's forehead. In the morning, thick reeds sway in the breeze beneath a gray sky. Beyond the reeds, Mary and Cherie follow Dormer through the cleared marshland. A puddle reflects their approaching forms. Mary steps through the muddy puddle. She and Cherie walk side by side, gripping each other tightly. Mary's lips part and her face tightens. She kneels. Two small red marker flags wave in the wind. Mary fights back tears as she gazes downward. Bits of fabric cling to Shannon's skeletal remains, lying on the ground in a fetal position. A metal plate gleams in her jawbone.
I'm gonna take you home.
Mary's face crumples. Cherie stands behind Mary. A tear rolls down her cheek. She looks away. Mary rises and embraces Cherie. The wind rustles the tall reeds behind them. Dormer and several other officers stand nearby at a distance. Then, Mary stands with Cherie and Sarah at a press conference.
As much as today is about Shannon, it's not just about Shannon, it's about all of us. Every one of us and our friends and family that were affected by this.
Outside the motel, Mary, Lorraine, and the other family members step into a group hug.
The police failed us. They failed every one of our girls. They failed to keep them safe when they were at risk. They failed to take their disappearances seriously, and they failed to go after the people who took advantage of our girls. Some of them may even be those people. And they ignored me, just like they ignored Shannon the night she called for help and waited an hour for them to arrive.
The group hug breaks up. Lorraine and Missy each touch Mary's shoulder, then walk away with their luggage.
Why are our girls to blame at the exclusion of everybody else? It's time for accountability, and I'm starting with myself.
Outside the motel, Mary wears a small smile. She steps toward her car as the wind blows fallen leaves around the parking lot. Sarah buckles herself into the back seat as Mary gets into the car. She sets her purse next to her on Cherie's lap.
Go home.
Mary and Cherie lock eyes. They smile. The screen goes black. Then, the thick brush and trees of the marsh surround the homes along the water. Text appears. An independent autopsy of Shannon Gilbert's remains contradicted the police's theory that Shannon died from exposure to the elements, finding that her injuries were consistent with homicidal strangulation. There was no evidence of drugs in her system. 10 to 16 victims were ultimately attributed to the Long Island serial killer. No suspects have been charged in the case. Phone records later confirmed Peter Hackett did call Mary Gilbert. She filed a wrongful death lawsuit against him. In February 2016, the real-life Mary Gilbert holds up a photo of Shannon at a press conference.
This is why we're here. This is my daughter, Shannon. And she won't be forgotten. She never will be forgotten. And we are going to continue to fight as long as we need to until justice is done for our daughter.
Text appears. In July 2016, Mary's daughter Sarah suffered a psychotic episode after going off medication for schizophrenia. Mary tried to intervene and sustained fatal wounds. Cherie Gilbert remains an advocate for Shannon and continues to fight for justice. Text appears over a photo of Mary with her three daughters. Mary Gilbert, 1964 to 2016. I swear to God. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Liz Gutman. Voiced by Amanda Bruton. Credits. Directed by Liz Garbus. Written by Michael Werwey. Based on the book entitled Lost Girls, An Unsolved American Mystery by Robert Kolker. Produced by Ann Carey, PGA, Kevin McCormick. Executive producers Liz Garbus, Rory Coslow, Amy Noyakis, Vinay Singh, Carrie Fix. Director of Photography, Igor Martinovic. Editor, Camilla Toniolo. Music by Ann Nikitin. Cast. Mary Gilbert. Amy Ryan. Cherie Gilbert. Thomason McKenzie. Richard Dormer. Gabrielle Byrne, Kim Lola Kirk, Sarah Gilbert, Una Lawrence, Dean Bostick, Dean Winters, Missy, Molly Brown, Lorraine, Miriam Shore, Lynn, Anna Reeder, Amanda, Grace Capeless, Peter Hackett, Reed Burney, Joe Scalise, Kevin Corrigan. This film is dedicated to the memory of Melissa Barthelme, Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Amber Lynn Costello, Shannon Gilbert, Megan Waterman, and the other known and unknown victims of the Long Island serial killer.
I will fall with the burden standing in its way.
Copyright 2020, Netflix US LLC, all rights reserved. Lost Girls.
Red Letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.